Running a learning business today requires attention to growing reach, generating revenue, and demonstrating real impact, all while navigating constant change and fierce competition for learners' time and money.
To help, we've curated a collection of free resources for learning business professionals. You'll find frameworks, briefings, and reports, webinars, and tools focused on strategy, portfolio design, pricing, marketing, and more, all created specifically for organizations that sell continuing education and professional development.
If you care about building a stronger, more sustainable learning business, visit leadinglearning.com/free resources.
That's leadinglearning.com/free resources for practical tools and strategic insight to help you grow your reach, revenue, and impact.
If you're a leader or an aspiring leader in the business of lifelong learning, you're in the right place. I'm Salisa Steele.
And I'm Jeff Cobb. And this is the Leading Learning Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to episode 150 of the Leading Learning Podcast. In this milestone episode, we want to talk a bit about what it is we set out to achieve with the Leading Learning Podcast and some of what we hopefully have achieved with the podcast. Before we turn to that discussion, though, we want to offer a message from Next Thought, our sponsor for the third quarter of 2018.
Brought to you by Next Thought, associationsnext.com is your opportunity to learn from some leading thinkers in e-learning and membership organizations, as well as giving you the chance to test drive the Next Thought LMS platform. In this educational series, you'll uncover new knowledge about instructional design, digital strategy, and staying true to your organization's long-term goals in the face of rapid change. Kiki Littalian, Tracy King, and Lowell Applebaum lead the first three modules, and more courses will be added on a monthly basis. Visit associationsnext.com to enroll and experience the revolutionary Next Thought LMS for yourself.
And I definitely recommend that you do take some time to check out associationsnext.com. But right now, let's get back to our 150th episode and a little bit of the behind-the-scenes look at what we're after in the Leading Learning Podcast.
And first of all, it is just flat out amazing that we're at 150 episodes. I know you checked right before we started recording this, Salisa, and we did the first episode on September 8th, 3 years ago in 2015. And I don't think either of us necessarily thought that we were gonna make it this far, but now we're here, and you know, personally, we've gotten a lot out of it. I think I have.
I have too.
And certainly we want to continue. But it's a good time to stop and reflect a little bit on where we've gotten to and as you said, what it is we're trying to do with this podcast.
Right. And 150 felt like a milestone, something that we wanted to make sure to note, something to celebrate. And we thought, too, that, you know, listeners, you get access to finished episodes. You get access to these edited interviews. They're pretty lightly edited usually, but still they've been edited. You get access to these edited episodes of Jeff and I talking. And so what may not be as apparent to you as listeners as it is to us as hosts is just some of the overarching mindset and framework in which we approach the Leading Learning Podcast.
And hopefully some of that's coming through implicitly, but we'd like to make that more explicit, particularly for listeners who may have joined along the way. We had huge thanks to any of you who have been here for the entire 150 episodes, but we know most people have probably jumped in somewhere along the way, may jump in and out, so that may not be quite as explicit, and we want to make that explicit. And then also, we want to talk a little bit about this, the bigger picture of our work, what we do at our company, Tagoras, and the field the podcast is intended to serve. And as it happens, we've also been engaged in our work at Tagoras for roughly 10 years at this point. We actually incorporated the company in 2007, but it was really the fall of 2008 before we had fully extricated ourselves from our previous jobs and were really focused, really engaged with serving learning businesses through, at that point, really our consulting and our kind of budding research services. And we thought it would be interesting and more than that, productive to blend that perspective in, that perspective of, you know, 10 years in business as Tagoras to what we're going to talk about you know, what we're out to achieve with the podcast. And as you said, hopefully have achieved to a certain degree, Salisa.
Well, that's right. And so I was reminded in thinking about this in terms of, you know, what did it take to get to 150 episodes? Well, it took 149 previous episodes and 10 plus years, I think, as you're suggesting there, that really it's so much of what we have done all along the way, really even before 2008 with that, you know, Tagoras really sort of taking off. It's really just all along the way. We've both been very involved with learning and education for even more years in the past 10 years. And I was reminded of a story. I can't remember exactly who, you know, which author gets credited with this, but, you know, someone asks the author, you know, how long did it take you to write that poem? And he says, you know, it took an afternoon and a lifetime. And I think that's what we're after here when we're talking about, you know, 150 episodes and 10 years, 10 plus years.
That's true. I mean, first of all, our lifetimes, because we're bringing that to the perspective that comes into the podcast. But, you know, folks who don't know us, don't know our history, you may not realize that we started getting involved in the lifelong learning business, at that time, really e-learning more than anything else, back in 1997, you know, in the gogo.com days. Worked for a company then. We started our own company, sold that in 2005, and we were working for the company that bought us at the point that we decided to start Tagoras. So Tagoras is our second company, but we've been in this directly involved in this whole business of lifelong learning really for 20 years, more than 20 years at this point, which again, very hard to believe. but you know, one way or another, whether we're wiser, I don't know, but we certainly have some opinions and some perspectives at this point.
Well, and one of the things, if we sort of, again, we went wide with our lens there to talk about the lifetime that it took to get us here. But if we narrow the focus a little bit more, 3 years ago when we first launched the podcast, we started it as an effort to support and enhance a place-based learning event.
And I think that, you know, for us, that was a... We felt it was a valuable tactic, and it's one that we would recommend to organizations. I mean, if you're listening to this and you're thinking about, you know, how do we enhance, extend our existing face-to-face events? So this could also go with an online event, but we felt like a podcast was a good way to do that, to provide some preliminary content so attendees at the event would sort of have a baseline of knowledge, social learning objects that they had referenced in the form of audio podcasts. And we had some other things we did as well, but that was one of them. We used some of our speakers at that event for the run-up podcast and address some of the topical areas that we were going to address at the event. And then we continued on after the event. And then we just kept continuing because we felt we were onto something. We both really liked podcasting and felt that the medium itself just has a lot of potential as a learning channel and just something that was gratifying to us personally.
And so while that first event, the Leading Learning Symposium, was the impetus initially for the Leading Learning Podcast, we really saw it as part of a broader effort and something worth continuing because from the very beginning, it's been about serving leaders and aspiring leaders in the business of lifelong learning. That's that little sound bit from the opening of every podcast episode. Maybe you're tired of hearing it by now. Maybe you even, heaven forbid, fast forward past it. But we, you know, for us, that really has been a focus from the very beginning. We really want to help leaders and that next generation of leaders who are focused on thinking about lifelong learning from that business perspective, from really how to make it work and not only serve learners, but also the organization that's providing the learner, how it can work for that organization as well.
And I think that's another important point in terms of applying what we're talking about here. And we'll talk in a bit, I think, about how we've tried to make the type of content, the types of conversations that we have on the podcast, very practical, very applicable. But, you know, we tried to practice what we preach from the very beginning and be very clear about who our audience was and, you know, what we were trying to provide for them, which is the core of any strategy. And, you know, as you noted, this was part of an event. The event itself was focused in that way on, you know, those leaders and aspiring leaders in the business of lifelong learning. So we wanted to be very clear and crisp about who this podcast was for. And really, at this point, it's still the only podcast, at least from our perspective, that really has that focus. You know, we've tried to, you know, be very dedicated to that particular niche audience, leaders and aspiring leaders in the business of lifelong learning. And then along the way, we've tried to get much clearer ourselves and our own perspectives on it. And then in shaping the content that that we bring to the podcast around what those terms mean, business of lifelong learning and leaders in the business of lifelong learning.
And for us, I know that certainly, you know, 3 years ago when we first got started, really our deepest experience with businesses in lifelong learning was the association world.
Right.
And so that was a clear area of focus for us. Within the last couple of years, I think we've gotten clear around the idea of, yes, we very much want to serve associations in their role of providing professional education and professional development, continuing education, lifelong learning. But we've also come to really want to embrace the idea that there's a sort of a broader ecosystem of organizations working in the business of lifelong learning. So yes, associations are a very important segment of that, but there are also educational institutions that can serve this role. I'm not thinking so much about, you know, degree granting, you know, college sort of 4-year type degrees, but more of some of the certificate programs that get run out of educational institutions. We've got training companies. We have for-profit organizations that are serving the needs of adult learners today and really trying to help fill that gap and need around lifelong learning. And I think we've just become clear around the idea that these organizations, kind of regardless of how they're structured, whether they're for-profit or nonprofit or an association, that they can learn from each other, that they can share their experience, they can share what's worked, they can share where they're still struggling, and that there's a lot to be learned all across the way. It's not so much, you know, it's not necessarily businesses teaching associations or nonprofits. It's not necessarily nonprofits, you know, teaching associations and businesses. It really is that this is an ecosystem and that people have a lot of information and experience to share.
And it really is a different world. And I think anybody working in it probably senses that, recognizes it. I mean, a large part of what we've wanted to do with the podcast and with our work in general is to help forge a sense of identity for the people who are working in the business of lifelong learning and for that business itself. Because it is different from corporate training. It is different from higher education, academia. We've started to talk about it as really a third sector of education, you know, because traditionally we have our kind of pre-K through 12 education systems, and then we have our higher education systems. But then we have what we characterize as the other 50 years, and that other 50 years is getting longer and longer, but it's that time when formal education ends for the average person up through certainly the end of their working life and these days really the end of their lives, because we all have to be learning and growing and adapting pretty much right up to the end at this point. And I think, you know, what we've seen during the course of the last 3 years, certainly over the course of the last decade, is a growing recognition of how important lifelong learning is, how important that other 50 years is, and the need for people to evolve and to grow and adapt during that time. We've got an episode with the Pew organization around the research they did with, you know, vast majority of people identifying themselves as lifelong learners. We've referenced at times and written about The Economist in recent history saying that lifelong learning is now an economic imperative. And we thought they were a little late to the game in saying that. But nonetheless, you know, the recognition of how important this is has just grown dramatically in the, I guess, you know, the seriousness, the sophistication, the maturity of the learning business has grown also. I mean, there's still, you know, plenty of development to be done, and that's what we're all about here. But we've definitely seen a very positive shift in the opportunity, in the practices, and in the potential of this whole business of lifelong learning.
And it's just at least one other point that supports what you're saying around the growth of the recognition of lifelong learning. When we first got started, there really were no learning management systems, you know, focused on what we call a market-facing education business. This idea that if you need to sell to members or customers, there weren't LMSs out there set up for that. They were either set up for the corporate world, where, you know, you're told by your boss to sit down at your desk and complete these modules, or they came out of academia where, you know, it was more of a semester-long approach. But in either case, it wasn't this idea of, you know, how do you have a system that really helps you market and sell to individual learners?
Yeah, we've seen the growth in those businesses. We've seen many more consultants come along that are really serving the market-facing businesses, the association businesses. Some of that's in areas like technology selection, learning technology selection. So when we first started doing that as Tagoras back in the day, we really were about the only consultants doing that. I mean, some would be doing it as sort of, you know, side type gigs, but wasn't really their main focus. It was our main focus. I mean, we're actually doing less and less of that over time, but there are other great firms coming along that are focused on that. Tammy Bonnet Adme does that. John Lay with Talented Learning, some good firms that are coming along really focused there, and great consultants in just this whole business of lifelong learning in general. Tracy King was somebody that was mentioned at the beginning of the podcast as part of the association's Next initiative. So good people out there, really, you know, you used the word ecosystem earlier, just I think a vibrant ecosystem growing up around the business, which is great to see.
So there's also involved with our perspective on the podcast, just this idea of leaders. We just talked about lifelong learning and business of lifelong learning. But then there's this notion of leaders. And for us, we really wanted to focus on leaders because it's really important to have folks out there leading learning. And we feel like there are too many organizations that where learning can play a critical role, should play a critical role, but they don't necessarily have kind of the leaders that are recognized in that effort that they're making around learning. And so we want to help support them. And as you mentioned earlier too, Jeff, also to help really help them understand that they occupy a unique space, that they are leaders and learning leaders, that the both are critical, the leading and the learning.
I mean, you think about it, you know, when you're running a learning business, you know, what you're offering out to the world, to the field or industry that you serve is, you know, usually going to be the focus. I mean, you're directly trying to impact and change people's lives, change their behavior, change their knowledge. I mean, that's a significant responsibility.
And not only change their behavior and their knowledge, but often one step away from that, then in their work, the people that they serve, you know, so if it's doctors, it's the patients, if it's nurses, it's the patients, if it's engineers, it's all of us who have to, you know, cross bridges or work in buildings. So, you know, very broad.
So you're at the beginning of really a chain of influence there that can have really dramatic impact across whatever field or sector you're serving, and recognizing that you're in that position. I think, you know, as you mentioned, we've traditionally focused a lot on trade and professional associations. I mean, I think particularly for those organizations where, I mean, that's why they exist, is to serve a particular field or industry typically, and presumably they're all about kind of raising the bar across that field or industry. You know, for those organizations, that whole idea of leading learning is extremely important, but it's also more and more important from the perspective of, I mean, really just about any business. I mean, you think about, you know, offering educational opportunities and learning as a way to connect with your prospects and your potential customers, really engage them in a new and different way, and really become woven into the fabric of their lives. So it's just an incredibly powerful tool, and I think it takes certainly a distinctive, if not a unique set of capabilities and capacity for a leader to really be effective and really be successful with leading learning.
I think it's also worth noting that learning leaders, yes, they're helping other learners and they're trying to lead that, but it's really important for them to also be leading their own learning. That there's a lot to be said for just all of us embracing our own need for lifelong learning and recognizing that we really have to play an active role in that. And so making sure that we are leading our own learning. And of course, then if you have a team that you're working with beyond that, then that's a really great way to set the example, you know, so that it becomes much more than just lip service about, you know, learning so important, it can have so much impact. You're out there actually doing the learning that you need to do to better serve the other learners that you're serving. And so it's really critical, I think, so much more so. I mean, all leaders need to be great learners, I think. But I think if you're really trying to lead learning, it's just that much more important, because it's, you know, otherwise it's going to come across as very hypocritical. Anything you say may not be given the weight that it deserves.
All right. I mean, we've written before, and we're certainly not the only ones, that leaders need to be avatars. You need to be modeling what you would expect your own learners to do. And, you know, our hope with this podcast, to bring this back to, you know, what we've been hoping to achieve and hopefully are achieving, is that we're helping to give leaders and aspiring leaders some content, some tools, some insights, some perspectives to work with. Starting off with, as we mentioned earlier, you know, helping to forge a sense of recognition, a sense of identity around this whole business of lifelong learning, kind of validating that, raising awareness about it just in general, because we do feel it's so important. But then as leaders, you know, to give you content, give you insights, you know, hopefully some from us, but definitely from the great guests that we bring on and are able to interview, that are, you know, hopefully going to enable you to do your job better. But then also, you know, any podcast episode is a great tool with your staff and your team. You know, if multiple people are listening to it, if you can have conversations around it, if it can become basically a social learning object to help spark conversation, discussion, growth, learning within your organization, you know, if any one of the 150 episodes that we've put out at this point actually did that for your organization, for you personally, we would consider it a huge success. And that's probably a good place to start talking about the nature of the content that we've brought to the podcast, and kind of how we've looked at that over the years.
Well, and we've gotten, I think, more we've taken more of a programmatic approach in recent months and years. When we first started, as you said, we pegged a lot of it to the initial event that was the impetus to it. And we drew on the speakers and facilitators that we had at that event and the topics that we were focused on there. We've since developed the learning business maturity model. And it's roughly 2 years old at this point. And what we've done is, since we've had that maturity model, we have begun to align episodes with the domains that we talk about in the learning business maturity model. So we try to at least loosely sort of run through those five domains in each of a series of episodes. Over the course of five episodes, we would hit each domain with the added caveat that we also try to vary between interviews and then the discussions between you and I, Jeff.
And we also add in trends too, which we don't have defined as a specific domain, but obviously we want to help keep people on top of the major trends that are out there that they need to know something about and need to be doing something with. And, you know, we're not regimented and dogmatic about this. If you go back and check our episodes, you won't be able to say, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, we hit, you know, leadership and capacity and, you know, all of the different domains in the maturity model. But the maturity model kind of is our vision and our framework behind this. And we feel like it's an important and a valid framework for providing the content and the insights that leaders need in the business of lifelong learning. So, you know, we expect to stay with that going forward. You know, and we want to unearth, in doing that, ideas, new models that are innovative, that are, you know, represent visionary thinking that we feel learning leaders need to know about. But at the same time, you know, we always strive to ground that in the practical. Certainly in the conversations that we have, we always try to tie it back to what does this really mean for you as a leader? What does it really mean for you and your business? So we've been trying to do that in this episode even. But also, you know, in our conversations, you know, if we're talking to somebody, we had a great episode about grand challenges, for example. We still want to bring that down to, okay, you know, what might you do with that within the context of your specific learning business as much as possible, and try to make this, you know, real and actionable. If you're going to spend anywhere from, you know, 30 to 50 minutes of your time listening to this podcast, we want you to walk out with some things that you can actually do with it.
And so you've used adjectives like practical and real, and I think that part of what those adjectives get at is just this idea that we really want the podcast to not only be about learning, but to also spark learning. Mm-hmm. We certainly have the advantage of getting to learn as part of our conversations with the folks that we interview, as part of our conversations with one another, as we prepare for those conversations with others and with ourselves. All of that is a great opportunity for us to learn. And we certainly hope that you as listeners also have a chance to learn new ideas, to get new insights as you're listening. And so, you know, our goal is we call them interviews and we do prepare for them, but we also really want to leave some space for the unscripted, for the serendipitous. We really love it, especially when we can have a conversation that actually reveals something that we hadn't anticipated and gives us really that new idea, that new insight. That's when it feels like a really great episode.
Definitely. And I've found personally that I've become much more interested in how to become a very good interviewer over the years, which, you know, when we started this, I'd done some podcasting before and I always felt like, I can get somebody on the line and have a decent conversation and it'll be fine. But I think, you know, podcasting itself has grown, the level of quality and sophistication has gone up. And as I've listened, you know, to some of those people out there, you know, Krista Tippett comes to mind immediately with On Being, you know, a really good, skillful interviewer, is a pleasure to listen to, but B, just elicits so much, you know, from the conversation. And, you know, I know personally I've got miles to go before I get there, but it's definitely been a focus of personal growth. And also along with that, I had a great interview with Kiki Letalian, who that'll air after this episode. We'll link to it once it's up, but it'll just be in a couple of weeks. And she's a podcaster, and we were talking about that, about podcasting some. And, you know, I was saying I feel like there's been a renaissance in podcasting because there was a bubble a while back, and then it faded off, and it seems to be coming back again. And she said, yeah, and it's really, for her, it's a renaissance in storytelling and kind of, you know, getting the good stories out. And in our case, you know, stories that, again, are applicable, that are practical, that actually, you know, resonate with our listeners. But, you know, I know for me, and I think this is true for you as well, Salisa, that going forward, you know, to get better at the interviewing, to, you know, really just take that to a new level, to elicit more of that story, you know, to really make this something that people, you know, are just really looking forward to week after week. I mean, I hope you are now, dear listeners, but even more so, we want this to get better and better in the coming 150 episodes.
That's right. So in the next 150 episodes, more conversations, more stories, more insights, more ideas. That's what we have awaiting you.
And all practical and useful.
So that wraps up our 150th episode of the Leading Learning Podcast. And you can get show notes for this episode by going to leadinglearning.com/episode150.
And of course, while you're there at the show notes, you're going to see the various options for subscribing to the podcast. And, you know, I'll note, you can just come week after week to the website. We do post the episodes there at leadinglearning.com. You're certainly welcome to do that. You can also subscribe to receive in your inbox a blog post every time a new episode goes live. So you can just click on that and get to the episode. But best of all, you can subscribe using something like iTunes or Stitcher Radio or one of those types of apps, and then it'll just show up right there on your mobile phone, and you'll always have it as an option when you're driving in the car or working out at the gym or wherever it is that you listen to podcasts. So if you're getting value out of what you hear, if you've enjoyed at least some of these 150 episodes that we've done so far, we'd be truly grateful if you would subscribe.
And if you're wondering what sort of gift we would like to mark the 150th episode, I have a great idea for you. You could take just a minute and go give us a rating on iTunes. You can do that by going to leadinglearning.com/iTunes. That's going to put you in the right place. It won't take you long to give us a star rating and leave a few brief comments. We really appreciate those ratings and reviews, and they help others to find the podcast.
And we would be grateful if you would visit associationsnext.com, which we mentioned at the beginning of the episode. That's an initiative of Next Thought. Next Thought is our sponsor for this quarter. And Well, you know, we'll tell you one thing we've learned in 150 episodes of podcasts is that your chances of getting rich off of podcasting are relatively low. But we do depend on that sponsor income to help underwrite our cost of doing this. Obviously, you're getting the podcast for free, as you're going to get, you know, most broadcast media. But it does take some effort to make that happen and some funding to make that happen. And our sponsors are who we look to for that. So we'd be truly grateful if you would show some love for our sponsor and go visit associationsnext.com. And while you're there, you're going to have the chance to learn and to experience the Next Thought LMS in action.
Please consider telling others about the podcast. You can send out a tweet by going to leadinglearning.com/share. Or if tweeting isn't your thing, you can pick another social network of your preference and spread the good word.
So thanks again, and we'll see you on episode 151 of the Leading Learning Podcast.